always thought-provoking and informative. Forget the spin and media bias from the left and right. We know you are sick and tired of being told what to think, how to act, and what you can and can't do. Direct from the Ustream It Broadcast Network, it's time for another edition of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show with your hosts, J.D. Williams and T.L. Farley. Real news and biblical common sense analysis starts in 3, 2, 1.
Well, welcome everybody, and thanks again for joining us for the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in beautiful East Texas, joined by my good friend and co-host there in the Dallas and Fort Worth area, Mr. T.L. Terry Farley. How you doing, Terry?
I'm doing great, man. Hey, everybody. How y'all out there doing?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to put this back up here on screen just for a second. I hope I don't play any music or play anything else. So I'm having computer issues here for the last couple of weeks, and I don't really know why. But anyway, there we go. We did it successfully. Here's what we're going to talk about today on the newscast. We're going to be talking about the Israeli internal chaos. Also, issues with Syria that we really need to get into. And, of course, the deteriorating relationship between the United States and Israel. I think that this one is really big. And I'm going to get into that today as well. Russia, NATO, Sweden, the International Criminal Court and Tactical Nuclear War, the EU Energy Plan. I'll tell you what, I believe, Terry, that this is just another Gog Magog war trigger. And then we're also, for the first time, we're going to discuss China's Shanghai Cooperation Organization and the fact that it is growing, and again, I believe is playing directly into the Gog and Magog war that I see fast approaching. Things are happening so fast that we actually have to change the show almost now hour to hour because it's really getting that intense. And by the way, that's exactly what the Bible said would happen, that once these events begin to play out, that they were going to go very, very fast. And we're seeing that happen. It's going very, very fast. I've got a lot of printed reports as well as some media reports today. I'm going to start off right now by telling you guys I am a member of the U.S. Press Association. Anything that I play, all of these organizations know that I play or read their material. That is something that everyone in the media does. If you watch a show on TV, you will see reports coming in. Let's say that you're watching Fox. Well, they may have some CNN reports, some MSNBC reports, some New York Times reports. Well, I do the same thing because I am a member of the U.S. Press Association. Everybody knows I play this stuff. But the thing is, we do things differently here on this newscast than they do. We don't just play news for you and say, okay, everything is beautiful, the world is going great. We don't do that. Instead, we tell you what's really going on, and we put it into a biblical context to let you know that you had better get ready for the rapture of the church, because, Terry, it's going to happen, and it's going to happen really quick, right?
Well, amen. I'm faster than we can even imagine.
Absolutely. All right, so let's get going with this, because we got a lot to cover today, and we're going to start with this right out of Israel. Listen to this report.
A close ally to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said that Parliament should put on hold controversial judicial reform plans as the country grapples with ongoing protests.
National Security Minister and leader of the Otzma Yehudit Party, Ben Gvir, allowed the government an extension to pass the controversial reform plan, putting it aside until the Knesset reconvenes in May, the Times of Israel reports. The Knesset was slated to hold a vote on the first portion of the bill on Wednesday. Harry Michaels reporting.
Now, of course, there's been Israelis in the streets now for weeks, okay, because of this. And we've talked about this on the newscast before. This is a court out of control in Israel that the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is trying to bring back under control. However, the media in Israel is almost as bad as the media in the United States as far as pushing things all the way to the left, getting people all irritated, getting them out in the street, and bringing chaos to Israel when it really doesn't need to happen. What Prime Minister Netanyahu is trying to do is bring common sense back into Israel, and he's being fought on it every step of the way. So anyway, let's continue to listen to this. This report is courtesy of Fox News on the same topic, but it kind of it makes it a little bit more clear for you. Listen to this.
Benjamin Netanyahu is practically admitting that his country is on the brink of civil war. What do you make of the situation? How do you see the outcome?
Well, it's not a coup, and this is, you know, the same sort of thing we heard after January 6th in the U.S., January 8th in Brazil, but it is unprecedented domestic disturbance because there is very strong opposition to Netanyahu stripping away a lot of the independence that a very strong Supreme Court has had. Now, I think there are a couple points here. First is that over the coming month, there's a decent chance that Netanyahu will lose supporters in his own Likud party and therefore not be able to push through. He only has an 8-seat majority in the Knesset, so he needs all of those votes in order to be able to get this judicial reform through. Not clear that that's going to happen. His coalition could also fall apart because it's several different parties, one of which is very hard right-wing. They were strongly opposed to even a temporary suspension, and they might well decide that they're going to break with him on the back of potentially losing the vote or watering down the resolution as he tries to talk with the opposition. So there are lots of ways that this can go badly in what is not a two-party system, what's a very divided and fragmented political system. You may remember all the votes that we've had in the past years, all the attempts that Netanyahu and others have made to try to put together a coalition government that have failed. It's just as hard to keep a government together when it's this weak.
Yeah, I imagine the administration is watching this one very closely because we do not want to see chaos in that part of the world.
No, we do not want to see chaos in that part of the world. Now, I don't think people really understand the difference between a democracy in the United States of America and a democracy in Israel. Here in the United States, we have two big parties, the Democrat Party and the Republican Party. And there has never been an independent elected as president of the United States. There has never been a majority in the United States Congress of independents. It's either Democrat or Republican. Right now, it's split. The Congress here in the United States is Republican. The Congress here in the United States is Republican. The Senate in the United States is Democrat. And, of course, the presidency is held by the Democrats. So you've got a divided government there, which is really a good thing most of the time. In Israel, they have what is called a coalition government. So you've got a bunch of different parties. I forget how many they've got, but it's not just a handful. I think it's like 10, maybe, okay? Different political parties. And they have to come together to get a majority of 62 in the Knesset, or the legislative branch there in Israel, in order to get anything done. And so they have to get one of the parties here, a little party there, another party over here, different delegates from different parties to put a government together. They tried that with five different elections over 2 years, and they finally got it right, and they finally got Benjamin Netanyahu in office, but he has such a slim majority, he can't lose any of those little bitty parties, or not only does nothing get done, but the government gets dissolved and they're back to having another election again. So he is basically having to walk back the reforms that he wants to do for fear of losing control of the government. And believe me, the countries around him, all of those Islamic countries around him, are laughing. They're having a great time with this, and they're stoking it up all the time, keeping it going. They love it. They absolutely love it. Don't believe me? Please look it up. All you got to do is Bing it. Just Bing it, and I promise you that you will find it. But the situation is actually worse, Terry, than that. It really is. And I don't know if you want to comment on that real quick, but then I've got something to kind of prove it.
Yeah, I'd just like to, for clarification, so people know what's going on, what Netanyahu is trying to do, the judges in Israel, not unlike a lot of judges in America today, the judges in Israel are not just simply ruling on how the laws are, they're actually making up their own laws.
Amen.
And they're writing laws instead of interpreting laws that have been written by someone else. And so then you've got a real chance for And that's why that's what he's trying to do. But there's a lot of fake money going into the country from Soros, from what I understand. And they're giving the people all kinds of garbage news, and they're believing it. And that's why they're fighting against it. If they understood what he's trying to do, I think a lot of them would back him, regardless of whatever their position is in terms of politics.
Well, actually, they are backing him. As far as the actual electorate in Israel, the citizens.
Well, I'm talking about the people that are protesting. And Amir was on the other night in the middle of the night because he couldn't get away from where he was at. He was trapped, but he was giving a report on it, and he was talking about the people that were protesting. And that's what I'm referring to. These people wouldn't be protesting.
Yeah, I don't want to stick on this one too long because we got a lot to do.
No,
But here's the deal. The protesters out there are just like the left-wingers here in the United States. They're making a lot of noise, but they are a minority. If this was put to an actual vote, an actual popular vote, Netanyahu would win. However, that's not how it works at all. It doesn't work that way here in the United States either. Yeah. It's whoever makes the most noise gets the most attention. Yeah. The greasy, you know.
Wheel gets the, yeah.
There right. you go. All right. But here's the deal. This is what's really important, in my opinion. Listen to this. This comes courtesy of the Watchman newscast. And listen to this.
Prime Minister Netanyahu announced Monday that he would postpone, at least temporarily, his push for that judicial overhaul, in which basically, folks, he's seeking to balance out Israel's Supreme Court, which has become very left-wing and doesn't have much oversight. So, in his view, he's seeking to rectify that. The Biden administration does not like that very much, and then some. President Biden yesterday made some very strong comments against Benjamin Netanyahu, speaking to reporters on multiple occasions on Tuesday, March 28th. He was asked about the situation on the ground in Israel, and Biden said, quote, "Israel, or Bibi in particular, cannot continue down this road." He called on Bibi to permanently suspend the judicial reform legislation. He questioned, or he said he was very concerned about the state of Israel's democracy. And he said Bibi will not be invited to the White House. He said that pretty emphatically on camera, at least in the near term.
Okay, so here again, the United States is involving itself in Israeli politics, and it's involving itself on the wrong side, and it is taking away it. What is it, Terry? Curse Israel, you'll be cursed. Bless Israel, you'll be blessed. The United States continues to poke Israel in the eye. They are cursing Israel, and believe me, that is a bad sign. So, I said this in the last show, and I am becoming more and more convinced of it all the time. I believe the reason that the United States is not mentioned in the Bible is, number one, it may not exist, and we'll continue to talk about that because that is a real possibility, in my opinion. I'm not predicting it, okay? I'm not predicting it. I'm not playing the part of a warmonger here either, okay? I want to make that clear. I'm just saying it is a very strong possibility because you do not curse Israel without ramifications, okay? And every country that's ever done it has come to a screeching halt. They've been kicked out, okay? The only country in the history of time that's come back from death is Israel itself, okay? We can get into that. But also another thing, another possibility that I think is growing is the United States taking the wrong side in a future conflict and actually being in opposition to Israel. That could be another reason that the United States is not mentioned in the Bible. Now, before we move on from this, Benjamin Netanyahu listened to Biden, okay? He listened to him. Yeah. All right, this is his response. Israel makes its decisions by the will of its people. Okay, he said, "My administration is committed to strengthening democracy by restoring the proper balance between the three branches of government, which we are striving to achieve via a broad consensus. Israel is a sovereign country which makes its decisions by the will of its people and not based on pressures from abroad, including from the best of friends. So, in other words, he's telling Biden, mind your own business. Israel will do. Israel is a country. We have our own laws. We have our own borders. We have our own government. Get out of our business. We're not telling you how to run the United States, even though somebody should probably tell you how to do it, because you sure as heck can't. Okay? But we're not getting in your business. Stay out of ours. Any comment on that, Terry?
Yeah, no, that's right, spot on. Biden has no call to enter into that, especially with his politics.
Right.
And again, even more importantly, as you've already pointed out rightly and properly, you mess with Israel, you're poking your finger in the eye of God. You just can't do that.
Absolutely.
He will respond, and he has. It's a matter of historical record.
Right.
Every time someone's done that, they've lost.
Right. So let's bring in one more report real quick, and then we're going to get to 2 minutes with Terry after this report comes out here. But this plays into that first thing that we were talking about, the Israeli internal chaos. I mentioned Syria. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, Israel has carried out an airstrike in the Damascus area. Again, now this brings in to Isaiah 17:1 is coming into play again. The media, now this is a report from the Israel National News. It said that media in Syria reported overnight about explosions that were heard in the vicinity of the capital of Damascus. The reports indicated the explosions were a result of an Israeli airstrike. It was also reported that the country's air defense systems are working to repel what they call Israeli aggression. The official Syrian news agency, which is called SANA, reported that two Syrian military personnel were injured and that damage was caused in the attack attributed to Israel. According to the report, the attack was carried out using missiles that were fired from the direction of the Golan at several targets in the Damascus area. And again, I would remind people that the Bible says that Damascus will cease from being a city. It will be totally uninhabitable. That is the oldest city in the world, and the Bible says it will be non-existent. So please go to the Bible, Isaiah 17:1, and you will see that for yourself. Terry, you could comment on that if you want, but it is now time for 2 minutes with Terry, and I'm going to give that to you here in, right about now. You are up, sir.
And we are the last Christian call here today, and we're looking at Christian orientation. We're focusing on prayer. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We've got our equipment. Our waist is girded with truth, breastplate of righteousness, our feet shod with the gospel of peace. We have the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. After suiting up, Paul turns to the first line of defense, prayer. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Our access to God is made plain in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, find grace, and help in time of need. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. God's truth is that in order to pray without ceasing, you must first remind yourself why you are praying without ceasing. Because Jesus not only died for your sins, he's living for you, through you, because of you. Jesus is coming back to deliver you from this present evil age. Psalm 95, verse 1 through 11, come let us sing to the Lord, let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms, for the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it. His hands formed the dry land. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand.
Okay, Terry, I got to cut you off right about there, and we'll finish that up in the second half of the show. Remember, if you only get the first half of the Last Christian newscast and radio show, you can always go to www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net for all of every segment of every show. You can find us on YouTube, of course, any of the podcast platforms. They all carry us, as well as all of our radio affiliates all over the world. We encourage you find us anywhere on your radio dial, and we do appreciate all of the affiliates out there that are carrying the radio show, the newscast. It's growing every single day, and we do appreciate it. We appreciate that more than you will ever know. Terry, I'm breaking away from the newscast thing here for a second, and I want to talk to you about your segment that you just had there. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Mm-hmm. Can you explain that to me? Because, you know, I hear people say, oh, well, you know, pray without ceasing. What in the heck does that mean? Can you break that down in maybe 30 seconds to a minute and kind of bring everybody up to speed on what that means? And then we'll go ahead and get back into what we're talking about today.
Staying in the attitude of prayer. You don't have to be running off at the mouth all the time. There's a famous verse I use a lot, Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I'm God. I'm always reminding people when they get panicked. Hey, you know what God says when you're in that situation? Well, what does he say? What does he say? Because they're all wired, you know. I say, he says, be still. Mm-hmm. What does the teacher say to the student that's acting up in class? Be still. And they're not being mean. They're telling them, get it together. So that's what it is. It's a spirit of prayer so that you are ready. You notice how I pray a lot, and you'll ask me, can you pray? And I pray immediately. It's because we have to cultivate that understanding. It's like I'm talking to you. Amen. And then you talk to me, then I talk to you.
Well,
Go ahead.
Yeah, the way I interpret it, and this, this is me. The way that I interpret it is that you have open communication with God. You have accepted him. You have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can talk to him anytime. You can talk to him when you're driving in your car. You can talk to him when you're sitting in a bathtub. You can talk to him when you're out mowing the yard. You can do whatever.
That's
you
right.
can talk to the Lord whenever you want to talk to the Lord. It is open communication.
That's right. And going back to your question about pray without ceasing, not only can you, but you want to cultivate that understanding so that you're always ready to pray. Somebody says, you mean you're going to pray right now? That's exactly what I'm talking about. You want to have that to be able to do that, to pray. When people say, pray for me, don't say, I will. When I get home in my closet, I'll pray. No, pray right there. Listen, folks, things are moving fast. It's time to get real. God is watching. He's got his hand on us, and he's leading us. He told us all these things that are happening are going to happen, and he told us, it says, I told you the end from the beginning.
Amen. Amen. Okay, we kind of got off track there, but I thought that was important. I think it is important, and that's the reason that I wanted to spend some time on it there, even though we're getting close to the end of the first half of the show. One thing that I want to get a couple of reports in before we do come to the end of the first half. Want to know how afraid President Putin is there in Russia about being arrested? You want to have any idea? Let's listen to this.
Let's listen to this.
With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks. Today, what are the chances of Vladimir Putin being arrested on war crimes charges if he attends the BRICS summit that is to be held in South Africa this August? South Africa is a signatory to the Rome Statute, so theoretically would be expected to take the Russian leader into custody the moment he steps off a plane to attend the meeting. But few people think that's likely. Elizabeth Sideropoulos heads the South African Institute of International Affairs. Affairs.
South Africa is in a very difficult position politically. I think the international legal obligation is very clear. Even if, you know, the Russian president, which, you know, Russia isn't a signatory to it, it doesn't give South Africa a loophole out. So the legal side is very clear. The political dimension, I think, is very difficult. The easiest way to deal with it is to basically tell President Putin, we're going to issue you with an invitation, but we really don't want you to accept it. I'm not sure that they're going to do that. Certainly, some of the alliance partners have been very vocal in condemning the ICC arrest warrant.
South Africa has been here before when it failed to arrest Sudanese President Omar al-Bashir when he visited the country in 2015, a move that was condemned by the ICC. Once again, Pretoria has some difficult decisions to make. With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks.
What this is called is the International Criminal Court is a joke. And no one pays any attention to the ICC because they have no teeth. They're like a dog, a toothless dog barking in your backyard. Mm-hmm. He's really loud, but he can't do any damage. And that's exactly where they're at. And Putin also, he's poking the United States a little bit and letting them know just how he feels about, how threatened he feels. Let's listen to this right here, and this will give you an idea.
A U.S. reporter working for the Wall Street Journal has been detained by Russian authorities on espionage charges. The Federal Security Service arrested Evan Gershkovich in the eastern city of Yekaterinburg. U.S. correspondent Nick Harper reports.
The Wall Street Journal is deeply concerned about Evan Gershkovich's safety. The company also says it vehemently denies the Russian claims that he was spying for the U.S. government. The FSB says he was collecting state secrets, with the Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov adding that he was caught red-handed. Gershkovich, a U.S. citizen, has worked in Russia for several years. I'm Nick Harper in Washington.
And he also happens to be of Jewish descent. And on top of that, this is another one of those cases where Russia says, okay, we'll let him go as long as you trade us some hostages. I guarantee you that's coming. That wasn't mentioned in the report. I don't have any factual data to support it, but I guarantee you it's coming. You just keep your eyes on it. This isn't my first rodeo. I've seen this stuff happen for many, many years now, and believe me, the Russians are going to take full advantage of this opportunity. They have arrested an American citizen. Biden's not going to do anything. The Russians are going to say, hey, you want him back? Okay, fine. Trade us one of the spies that actually has some information that we would love to get our hold of, and we'll give him back to you. That's how it's going to work. You watch and watch, wait and see if I'm not right, okay? Yeah. That is a prediction from me. Now, if you only get the first half of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show, again, we do invite you to go to www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net. For all of our affiliates, whether you carry the full show or just half of it, we really do appreciate it. For all of you that are leaving us now, you have a great one. We'll see you if we have another show. For everyone else, we'll be right back.
Attention podcasters, influencers, media personalities, content creators, and aspiring or existing radio personalities. KRRB Revelation Radio now offers the opportunity to broadcast or syndicate both new or existing shows to all 50 states and more than 160 countries around the world. And if you currently operate a radio station, we offer you the opportunity to add several popular shows in virtually every genre for broadcast on your station. Choose programming from 30 minutes to 2 hours, with each internationally syndicated show adding quality content sure to grow your listening audience. We even have excellent optional services to help you promote your show or station. These services are not only designed for audio use on the radio, but also include tools for use on social media, even YouTube. For more information, visit www.revelationradio.net or email the Ustreamit LLC Broadcast Network at office@ustreamit.net today.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in East Texas, and joining me there in Dallas, my friend, Mr. T.L. Terry Farley. And Terry, we're going to get right back into this. We got a lot to cover today. Now, I want to get right into Russia again. It's taken up a lot of the show, and I know that, but that's because a lot of what is going on in the world right now rotates around Russia. And I believe, again, based on the Bible, Russia leads the coalition against Israel that is called the Gog and the Magog War. And that is unfulfilled scripture that I see right there on the horizon right now. I mean, those countries are coming together. And the more that we talk on the show and in this newscast, you see that this coalition is coming together. I mean, it's firming up. It's firming up, and it's happening really fast. So let's look at this report, again, courtesy of Fox News. Listen to this.
President Putin in Russia announces that he might station tactical nuclear weapons in that country, in Belarus. You know, I spoke with the Belarusian exiled leader over the weekend, and she just called him a crazy dictator. Is that what this is, or should we be taking this, 10 times more seriously?
Well, a crazy dictator implies he has control over what happens inside his country, and that's not quite true. This decision has been made by Putin to move these tactical nuclear weapons probably sometime in the summer to Belarus. Lukashenko, the nominal Belarusian president, doesn't really have that kind of strategic control, just as he didn't when the Russians stationed over 100,000 troops as the precursor to the invasion of Ukraine, which Putin, of course, denied to the face of the U.S. and other European leaders. Look, this comes as the Russians have also cut off the START talks, so no talks about arms, sort of negotiations between the two nuclear superpowers. And as the Russians say that they want to modernize and increase their nuclear capabilities and their hypersonic missiles. So this is a dangerous position for the world to be in. It's obviously we have no functional relations with the Russians right now, and that's not about to change.
Ian, can I really quickly just have about 20 seconds left here. Can I ask you about this administration's response, particularly because there has been some criticism in Washington about, you know, chaotic situations leading to chaotic situations. We saw what happened with the Russians dropping our drone. We saw what happened with a Chinese spy balloon. What do you make of this administration's response to different crises when it comes to foreign policy?
When you don't talk with each other, when there are no diplomatic engagements at the highest level and there's no trust, the potential for accidents to escalate go up. And not only is that because the U.S. considers Putin a war criminal, it's also 3 years of COVID and the fact that you just didn't have that level of direct high diplomatic engagement between these countries. No question that makes the world more dangerous.
Yeah, and all eyes are now on China and Taiwan. Ian.
And we're going to get into the China and Taiwan thing here in a few minutes because this also plays a big role in it. But one thing that I agree with from that report is that anytime you're not talking to your adversary, mistakes can happen. And, you know, it's just like a little kid, you know, I'm going to take my ball and go home. That's kind of the way that the United States has been playing diplomacy. And I think it's kind of silly. This is a nuclear power that we're messing with. And Putin has basically told the world what he intends to do. And the United States doesn't want to believe him. Nobody, it seems like nobody wants to believe him. And I believe him. I believe that he is going to put tactical nuclear weapons in Belarus. I believe, and I have stated it for months, that he's going to use those tactical nuclear weapons in the Ukraine. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm really not. I'm just looking at things that are going on in the world and I say, hey, it just makes sense. If you're backed into a corner, you fight your way out of the corner. You know, you do. You just, you know, it's just human nature. And they're coming at him with criminal charges? Really? Okay, they're really going to try to charge. Do you really think the Russian people, the Russian government, is going to allow their president to be captured and sent to prison in some other country? Or do you think that they're going to use their military might and say, if you even try that, if we even try that, we declare war on you?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's just such a scary situation because the reality is when someone has the means, and Russia has the means, why wouldn't they use it?
Right.
Why, you know, oh, well, I've got this, but I'm going to, you know, there comes a time. And we don't, in the same way that, that Biden has been totally ineffectual in terms of leading his troops. In fact, he's not leading anybody, and his troops aren't doing too well even on their own in terms of, you know, it's it ain't looking good. It
They've got a lot more people and a lot more military than the Ukraine does. I mean, you know, it's just...
Oh, my goodness,
so, you know, to for people to say different, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Okay. CNN report. I rarely use CNN because I think that they're crazy for the most part. But in this particular case, they see Russia's nuclear blackmail as a spectacular success for Mr. Putin. And this is one time I tend to agree with him, because he's got the world so worried about the nuclear weapons situation that, you know, and then they put all this criminal court stuff, this international criminal court, which I already told you in the first half of the show, was just a joke. I mean, what kind of teeth do they have? None. Okay. So, you know, he's saying, you know, if you do anything at all, you know, I'm gonna drop some nukes in there, and I guarantee you the world's not gonna do anything about that either, except go to the UN. Maybe like Zelensky. Remember in the last show we talked about Zelensky saying he was gonna take something to the UN Security Council, not realizing that Russia has a veto that overrides anything that the UN Security Council might want to do. Well, okay, after they drop the nukes, maybe we'll take them to a United Nations Security Council where Russia can say, hey, get over yourself, we still have our veto. You know, I think that's really about how it's going to play out. Anyway, moving on to the next issue here, again with Russia. And this is in regard to Sweden, okay? Sweden has asked, or the way that it's quoted in this report is that they have summoned the Russian envoy, and this is after NATO's warning. This is, again, about those nuclear weapons that Russia has, the tactical nukes, as they say they're going to send to Belarus, okay? Now Sweden thinks, you know, okay, we're going to call a Russian diplomat in here and read him the riot act, and that way they'll back off. I mean, who's Sweden? Do they even have an army? Yeah. I'm not even sure. But anyway, the Russian ambassador has warned Finland and Sweden that by joining NATO, or even planning to join NATO, they both risk embroiling themselves in Moscow's deepening confrontation with the West. And to quote them, it says, if anyone still believes that this NATO membership in any way will somehow improve Europe's security, you can be sure that the new members of the hostile bloc will become a legitimate target for Russian retaliatory measures, including military ones. So again, Russia is showing that, you know, we don't care what the world thinks. We're going to do what we're going to do, and you're just going to have to get used to it. We don't think that you have teeth. We have ours. We will bite. We're going to tell you what we're going to do, and if you don't believe us, then we're going to do it. It's, you know, it's pretty much that simple. Any comment on that, Terry?
No, that's exactly the situation. I keep seeing a play going on here with Zelensky, Sweden, these different, you know, people are posturing, you know, the guy on the stage says, I'm going to do this, and the other, no, I'm, you know, and but it doesn't mean anything because the curtain's coming down. It's, you know, it's the end of the first act. I mean, it's just all play. It's all play.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's deepening and it's worsening by the day. Again, another report on this same thing here. This again, Russia is saying Sweden is becoming a legitimate target by joining NATO, and that is according to the Russian envoys, of course. Sweden's prime minister believes it's likely that Finland will join NATO before his country does. And on that, it says, if anyone still believes that this NATO membership in any way somehow improve Europe's security, you can be sure that the new members of the hostile bloc will become a legitimate target for the Russian retaliatory measures. Okay, this is the weighing of the NATO applications. Hungary to send diplomats to Sweden and Finland. The warning went on to state that Sweden is taking a step toward the abyss. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs will summon the Russian ambassador to make a clear statement against this blatant attempt at influence. Oh, wow. I'm sure that just scares the daylights out of Russia, right?
Yeah.
Good grief. I mean, this is getting crazy. You know, these people, like you said, they're posturing, but they got no teeth. They got nothing. You know, yeah. Russia's sitting back there laughing at them.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, sadly, that's what's going on.
Yeah, okay. Well, there's more. There's still more, okay? Russia, you know, they don't think Russia's going to do anything with these nukes, right? I mean, that's basically what everybody's saying. Okay. Okay, here's another report. Russia has now held nuclear missile force drills in Siberia to practice secret deployment of tactical nuclear weapons. Okay, so in other words, they're already testing how they're going to do it. They're already planning for it. Putin has said he's going to deploy them by summertime. Okay, well, we're coming up on April, so summer's right around the corner. I tend to believe Vladimir Putin. He's going to put nuclear weapons into Belarus. Okay, he's going to do that.
Yeah.
You know, in my opinion. Yeah. Okay, Terry, it's time. It's time for you again. I'm going to take a break from all this tense stuff and get into something that I hope everybody does, and that's read the Bible. And so, anyway, Terry, it is time for 2 minutes with Terry, and you are up right now.
Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. When your fathers tested me, they tried me, though they saw my work. 40 years I was grieved with that generation. I said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts. They do not know my way. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Let's turn to Psalm 95. To the book of Hebrews. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in rebellion in the day of the trial of the wilderness. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. That's chapter 3, verse 13 of Hebrews. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Hebrews chapter 3 again, verse 15. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 7. That's why we emphasize the last call, Christian, for people to understand we don't know how much time we have. We may have several years, a decade, I don't know, but it could happen today. That's the way the Bible says. Be staying with today. Individual times God proclaims through his word, while it is called today, take no thought for tomorrow. So let's rejoice always, let's pray without ceasing, and let's do it today. Orientation continues. We'll be looking at a prayer list. Maranatha.
Amen. Amen. And we don't know. We don't know when it's going to happen. The Bible doesn't say that. There are many times in the Bible when it tells us exactly when it's going to happen. And if you follow the timeline, it happened exactly when the Bible said it would happen. In this particular case, the Bible is not clear. It simply tells us that the next thing to happen, the next thing that we should look to, the next thing that we should look forward to, the next thing that we should expect is the rapture of the church. And everything that has is required to happen before that event has already happened. Mm-hmm. So it's on deck.
Yes.
It is on deck.
That's right.
So just keep that in mind here. Now, another thing that I wanted to talk about today is, you know, we have talked for months, Terry, and as a matter of fact, I think we kind of started this entire newscast and radio show months ago, almost a year ago, based on the fact that we believe that the hook and the jaw would draw Russia into Israel was energy. And I still contend that that's it, oil and gas. Whether or not the world wants to get away from oil and gas, it's not going to get away from oil and gas anytime soon, no matter what they want to try, okay? You don't see any windmills on cruise ships or on airplanes or on space vehicles or anything. You know, I don't see that. So, you know, it's got to continue for a little bit. And I think that what is going on right now in regard to energy in Europe could very well be one of those triggers toward the Gog and Magog war. Let's listen. I've got a couple of reports, so let's listen to this real quick.
The UK government is setting out its plans to reach net zero emissions by 2050, partly by investing in nuclear power. The 1,000-page plan also includes funding for green hydrogen, more flexibility in planning for wind sites, and energy efficiency measures in homes. The opposition Labour Party says the proposals are simply a rehash.
And they are a rehash. I mean, they really are, okay? Back in the 1970s, when nuclear energy was first being discussed, the liberals were on the other side then. That's too dangerous.
Yeah.
Okay, now they want to incorporate it. So, you know, they need to make up their mind which side they're on.
Because the wind thing is failing them miserably.
Both
offshore and onshore. I mean, it's killing fish on the Atlantic coast and whales and everything else. I mean, it's terrible.
Well, I don't have
anything to say about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't have confirmation of what you just said, so I've got to put that into the Terry Farley opinion mode because I don't have that.
Watch the news. No, if they will watch the news, they'll hear it plenty.
Okay,
anyway,
well I do watch the news and I get news reports.
I know you do, but let's move on.
I haven't seen it yet. Okay, here's the next report.
With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks, looking in more detail today at the EU's decision to set 2035 as the year in which cars powered by internal combustion engines will be banned throughout the bloc. It was touch and go this week, with Germany opposing the EU's plan at the last minute, then insisting on an exemption for cars that run on synthetic fuels. On Tuesday, the deal won formal approval, as FSN's Brussels correspondent Alex Cadier explains.
Under the original plan, the internal combustion engine would have been all but extinct. Factories that make cars or even parts for petrol and diesel cars would have had to be entirely refitted to focus on exclusively making electric vehicles. Now, though, European car makers might be breathing a sigh of relief because normal petrol and diesel engines can still run on e-fuels without any modifications. Now, Germany led that last-minute opposition, having previously agreed to the plan, and was supported by Italy, Poland, and others. Although this new agreement might not be as ambitious as the initial proposal, it still represents a massive change to one of Europe's largest industries.
The EU sees the move as central to its efforts to become carbon neutral by 2050. But by diluting the deal, Germany, the largest car manufacturer in the bloc, offered a concession to luxury automakers still sceptical about producing only electric vehicles, even though at the moment there is no mass-produced car that can run entirely on synthetic fuel. With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks.
And my initial question is China signed on? The answer is no. Is Russia signed on? The answer is no. Is India signed on? The answer is kind of maybe, but no, not really. So in other words, at some point, all of this has got to come to a head. Okay? At some point, there has to be that moment where maybe the rest of the world is on electricity. Maybe they do have electric cars. I want to see how their electric tanks work. I want to see how their electric ships work. I want to see how their, you know, their electric airplanes and all that works. And in the meantime, Russia and China and India, who could care less about all this stuff, they're still on combustion engines, and their stuff works great. And, you know, I just think that we're kind of getting swept away here. And it all leads to the fact that Russia is going to lead that coalition into Israel. They're going to think that they're going to take over all that oil and gas that Israel has, and they're going to get crushed on the mountains, not by Israel, certainly not by the United States, not by any country in the world, including Israel. They're going to get crushed in the mountains of Israel by God himself. That's how it's going to end. That is how it's going to end.
It'll happen.
Yeah. Okay. Now, the next thing that we've got here, and I'll put this back up on screen here real quick. Again, I'm thinking that this EU energy plan is another Gog and Magog war trigger, okay? Because everybody's arguing about this one way or the other. You're on one side or the other as far as this Green New Deal stuff is concerned. Mm-hmm. But what I want to focus on now is China's Shanghai Cooperation Organization. Very few people are talking about that. But it is a growing thing, and China's influence is the big thing here. So Taiwan, to start off with, let's look at Taiwan is in trouble, okay? They know that China is coming for them. It's just a matter of time. So the Taiwanese leader, he's on a tour right now. He's going to go to Central America. Is actually going through the United States, and he announced that he's going to be meeting with the Speaker of the House, and that ticked China off. Let's listen to this real quick.
Taiwan's President Tsai Ing-wen is beginning a 10-day tour of Central America. It's a bid to strengthen diplomatic alliances in the region after a move from Honduras to switch allegiance to Beijing. Her trip faces scrutiny from China amid expectations she'll also meet U.S. congressional leaders. Richard Kimber reports from Hong Kong.
Taiwan's President Tsai Ing-wen will visit Guatemala and Belize, two of only 13 countries that still hold official diplomatic relations with the self-governed island. It comes a week after Honduras ended its decades-long alliance with Taiwan in favor of establishing diplomatic relations with China instead. Taiwan accuses Beijing of using coercion and financial assistance to lure its remaining allies. Beijing dismisses that and says Honduras's decision confirms what it calls the prevailing consensus of the international community to recognize that Taiwan is part of China's territory. Tsai is also expected to stop over in the U.S. en route to Central America and meet U.S. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy. Beijing has repeatedly condemned the prospect of that meeting and urged the U.S. to cease contact with Taiwan and stop interfering in China's internal affairs. Richard Kimber in Hong Kong.
And you see that China says that that's interfering in their affairs, and they have vowed to take action against that. And here's the U.S. response to that.
The U.S. is dismissing China's threats of retaliation over a likely meeting between House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and Taiwan's President Tsai Ing-wen. The two are expected to meet in Los Angeles next week at the end of President Tsai's diplomatic tour of Central America. Richard Kimber reports from Hong Kong.
The U.S. says there's no need for China to overreact to Taiwanese President Tsai Ing-wen's U.S. transit plans and meeting schedules that are bookending her diplomatic tour of Central America. President Tsai is spending two nights in New York before heading to Guatemala and Belize, two of only 13 nations that still hold official diplomatic relations with Taiwan. The U.S. says her stateside stopovers are routine, have happened before, and that any potential meeting with U.S. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy should not justify aggression or coercion from Beijing towards Taiwan. China claims the self-governed island of Taiwan as part of its own territory and says an official meeting between Tsai and McCarthy would have a severe impact on the U.S.-China relationship. Richard Kimber in Hong Kong.
So again, the United States is ignoring a warning, China, and they're getting involved in this thing with Taiwan. They're ignoring the warnings in Russia. They're ignoring the warnings in Israel. Where's the leadership of the United States of America? It simply does not exist. And, and you got reports coming out of Taiwan. The president there, or the leader of Taiwan, he's saying, "Hey, don't worry about it. Nothing's going to happen." You know, I wish I had time to go into it in depth, but I don't. Also, all of a sudden, the Ukraine pops back up, but not in regard to Russia, in regard to China. Okay, now Ukraine is talking about China. This is Ukraine's Zelensky is ready for the Chinese leader to visit in the Ukraine. I want to speak to him. That's what he said. He said, I want to speak to him. And China had no immediate response about whether a visit to the Ukraine would happen or not. So, in other words, Zelensky's getting worried now because he knows that the time is running out. All these countries are not going to be supporting the Ukraine forever. And he knows that China and Russia are getting tight and tight and tight, right? So he knows he's got to deal with China. So here's another prediction to end the show with.
Yeah.
I believe that the Ukraine is going to kick the world to the curb. And by that, I mean the United States, France, the United Kingdom, Germany. They're going to join with China and they're going to say, help us. And then China can negotiate. And believe me, that deal is not going to be good. But China will, they'll end it. They'll get things done the way they want to do it. But here's the last thing for today. Saudi Arabia has grown closer to Beijing with a step toward membership in the China-led security bloc. Who is involved in this? This is a first step before awarding full membership into this new alliance that China has. Actually, it was formed in 2001 by Russia, China, and former Soviet states in Central Asia. The SCO is a political and security union that aims to counter Western influence. So this little block, and it's not little, this controls places like Saudi Arabia now. They're into Iraq, into Iran, Persian Gulf states, more and more and more. Again, I don't have enough time to get into it. I promise you in the next show that we're going to get into it more because this is the first time it's come up and it's important. It's something that needs to be discussed and it needs more than 20 seconds. So, again, if we are able to have another show, we look forward to getting with you again. Please, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ, make that step because the rapture is imminent. That means it could happen at any time. So until next time, if there is a next time, good night and may God bless you.
Thanks again for joining us today for The Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here on Revelation Radio. And don't forget to join us every Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Central for The Last Christian Podcast, now available on all major podcast platforms and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.